Can I get a help with that hymn that we just gave out? I forgot the number. 36 in the appendix. Thank you. 36 in the appendix. I was thinking of a line that was in that hymn. Stanza 2, the very last. And make thy love's bright story the theme of every tongue. I trust with the Lord's help. This is the mind of the Spirit, but I was thinking with what we were reading in Colossians 3 about the members and mortifying our members. It doesn't say it in that verse exactly in verse 5 of chapter 3, but it does speak a little bit in verse 8. But ye now ye also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. I think if we all agree, the hardest member to control is our tongue. I just want to read some verses. Start with James chapter 3. James 3 and verse 6. Actually, let me start with verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member. It boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter the little fire it kindleth. A tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of the nature, and is set on fire of hell. For even kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and things of the sea, is tamed. It hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue no man can tame. It is of unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So with the Lord's help, I just want to take some verses up with the tongue, that we would be very careful what we say of others and to others. I believe one brother shared this with me when we were talking about the first Adam, that we're all born under in sin. And the second Adam, once we're saved, that we're under the Lord Jesus as the head. But that first Adam, I believe, man in his flesh, without the Savior, has no power to please God with his tongue. We can see it around us. If we can read further on in the chapter, verse 9. Therewith we bless God, even the Father. Therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. And then verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, and full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So what are we using our tongue for? Are we using it to glorify the Lord Jesus? Are we using it to unite our brethren and sisters in Christ? Or are we using it to discourage and to divide? And then that last kind of goes with our chapter in Colossians, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Where are we finding our wisdom? What sources are we using? Are we feeding off this world's entertainment? And I don't speak to you all without speaking to myself. Are we feeding off philosophy, textbooks, whatever we can gain of man's wisdom? Are we feeding from Christ's wisdom, that which is heavenly, this precious word of God? Whatever we feed on will come out from our mouth. This is something I've been concerned about for a while, and I know ones have been discouraged from it. Do we speak evil of our brother or sister in Christ? I have to confess I have at times. And the Lord has been gracious to come along to see the error of my ways, but may we never be speak evil of our brethren. One has been shared with me, if we have a concern with our brother or sister, may we have the grace, the love and the care to go to them in person and talk to them. Don't talk to your friend about them. Don't entertain thoughts in your heart. Go to that person. It's a shepherd's heart that has the care to go to him. And a shepherd has a hard position. It might be misunderstood or not appreciated. But I think if the person that the Lord directs you to go to in the end will be appreciative of what you had if the Lord directed you. I want to go to Galatians chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself lest thou also be tempted. I think there's a spirit of how we should go to our brethren in meekness and dependence on the Lord. And don't go in pride or puffed up, because that will be of no glorification to the Lord and no use or help to your brother. This is another thing I've been concerned about. Do we talk evil of our brethren in our home? Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 3. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. It's been said, your children, I don't have this experience, but your children are like little birds, and they're listening to what you share. You might think no one's hearing, but what you share behind closed doors, and they'll go tell others. May we not speak evil of our brethren, but find those things that the Lord Jesus, that glorify Him, that are characteristic of Him. May we be taken up with that. And another thing, if we speak evil to our brethren, it has power to spread rumors and to defile many. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. I wonder if we're honest, if we're speaking evil of our brother, if there's some kind of bitterness in our heart against him. May we judge that. Like the brother shared, I enjoyed that. We need self-judgment. We already have the blessings that we can enjoy right now, but we need constant self-judgment with the Lord's help. But that end of that verse, it doesn't only affect you, but many will be defiled. And there's a solution. We don't have to dwell on the negative. Let's go to Luke 6:28. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Other brothers have shared this, that if you were praying for a brother or sister, you can't have ill thoughts towards that brother in your heart. And then let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 32, this was mentioned earlier in this conference. I think it was one of the verses the kids quoted in Sunday school, and it's one of my favorite. 4:32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. May we be kind to our brethren. Might we forgive them. It can go both ways if someone says something about us. Might we be ready to forgive them. Christ forgave us such a greater cost with our sins. it's a little thing to forgive a brother what he or she might have said against you. And then this is another solution, I believe, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So do we have a genuine care and love for our brother? If we do, I believe we won't be taken up with ill thoughts or ill words against him. That's how the Lord Jesus loved him. May we love him the same. And if we think of that soul that we're speaking evil of, it's a precious soul that the Lord Jesus died for on the cross. And this is something we can ask ourselves when we're thinking or contemplating in our thoughts about saying something. James chapter 3, again. That verse 17, I'll read it again. But wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercies and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. So we can ask ourselves before we say something, is it true? Is it pure? Is it peaceable? Is it gentle? Is it hypocritical? Meaning, what we're going to share, are we living out by the word of God and his help? Are we just saying something because we want to be heard? And then another point is everything we say, we're going to have to give account for in a coming day. There was a couple examples in Scripture. If we turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 23. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And this is Elisha. And as he was going by up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears of the wood and tare 40 and two children of them. So in our manner of speech and actions, do we respect authority? Do we appreciate our older brethren? Or do we mock them? Let this not be characteristic of us. Sometimes God's government is immediate. Other times it comes at a later date. And then, is our speech characteristic of a true believer? My last example is in Mark chapter 14. And I wanted to use something else. My other question before we read here, is our speech characteristic of a true believer? I asked that. Do we use minced oaths or swear words? That should never be true of a believer. And then in Mark 14, in verse 17, it's later in the chapter actually. Mark 14 and verse 71. You can tell I have dyslexia. I got that switched up. Mark 14:71. This is Peter when he's denying the Lord. This is how he used to deny the Lord, and it's solemn. He began to curse and swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. When the world hears us swear, if they know we're a believer, that does detriment to the testimony of God. Say they don't. How are we going to let our light shine if we're using minced oaths? And I pray that we would never take the Lord's name in vain. That's another thing. Does your heart, if you're a believer, I believe that the new nature in you will be deeply hurt when you hear someone take the Lord's name in vain. I haven't been very faithful of this, but when you hear someone take the Lord's name in vain, do you speak out and say, "Hey, you're talking about my Savior"? And then lastly, with our speech, are we quick to get angry when we don't agree with someone? Proverbs 14 and verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but that he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. And then I just noticed this verse 15 of chapter 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but a grievous word stirreth up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. The mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. So, the Lord, He never answered in anger. He was soft when He spoke to ones. May we be the same. I hadn't thought of that too, but this one speaks to my own heart. Are we taken up with foolishness? Maybe something funny that was brought in Oaxaca? That we have to be even careful of doing that. The Lord sees that, and it doesn't glorify Him. I just wanted to quote a hymn of our little children's hymn book, and it's number 8. I don't think you guys have the sheets, but it says, "Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the love of Jesus ever fill the heart and keep the lip. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey His blessed command. Angry words, though lightly spoken, do not suit the child of God. Happy fellowship is broken by a single angry word." And then one last verse in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." May we glorify the Lord in everything we do, and be thankful and praise Him with our lips rather than discourage or tear down. But most of all, we have a courage and example to follow, our Lord Jesus. I don't know the reference, I had it down, but the Lord, there was no guile found in Him. So, that's all.